Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Zvachim Daf Kaf Yud Tes. We begin five lines off the top of the Amud Bo, L'noi Begibon V'chulu. In the Mishnah we learn an interesting thing, interesting phenomenon. Was it mutter to be makrav, a private carbon, in a private bama, the privacy of your backyard? Well, it depends. What was going on otherwise? So in the Mishkan, you know, in the Midbar, when they had the Mishkan, of course, bamas were asur. You bring your carbon to the Mishkan and nowhere else. However, Moshe Rabbeinu informs Bnei Yisrael, that's now, but once you enter Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishkan will be no longer, then you'll have a central bama in Gilgal, and likewise, you can have your own private bamas throughout the land. But once they established a formal Mishkan Shilai, the bamas become Asr. Once Shilai is destroyed, and they move on to Noiv and Givain, the bamas become Mutur again. So it's back and forth and back. How do we know that although the bamas were Asr during Shilai's reign, they once again become Mutur once Shilai is destroyed? How do we know? We have this pasuk where Moshe Rabbeinu is describing the sequence of events. Look, at this point, meaning once you enter Israel, you're free to use your private bamas. You know why? Because you haven't yet established a formal Mishkan, a formal Beis HaMikdash. You haven't arrived up until this point to something called Menucha, a temporary, you know, resting place for the Shechina, and that's referring to Shiloi, Vela Nachla, nor have you come to the permanent resting place of the Shechina, Beis HaMikdash, and Yerushalayim. So the term Ela Menucha, as we explained, is going on Zu Shiloi. The term Nachla, that's going on Zu Yerushalayim. Lo Mechilken, why did Moshe Rabbeinu separate them and refer to them as separate entities? What's the point? Oh, to tell you that only when Shiloi was standing, when Beis HaMikdash was standing and onward, the bamis become mutter. But in between, meaning once Shilai is destroyed, you have that 57 years for Noiv Givain. During those years, bamis are once again mutter, even though they had been asa during Shilai. Lo mechilken, why divide these eras in history? They lit in heter ben zelazet, to indicate that there's a heter of bamis between these two periods. So again, during Gilgal, bamas are mutter. Shiloi bamas are asur. Never given their mutter once again. And once the Beis HaMikdash is up and running, there's no more bamas. Amalei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the Mishnah speaks about the time of Nevi Givain. So, Kachem Kalam, you know, Ashlamim, you can eat anywhere. B'chol Or Yisrael, throughout the entire land. Now, why is there no mention of Maser Sheni? Maser Sheni as well, it can eat throughout the entire land. Amalei Shlokesh Labiyechem Maser Sheni Nami Lisni. Amalei says no. You can't eat Maser Sheni only when there's a formal Eil Moed, a formal Mishkan, as opposed to the time of Noi Beginim when it wasn't really a formal setup. Amalei says like this: Maser, regarding eating Maser Sheni, that doesn't apply during this period in history because of Gzeirah Shavah. It says the word Sham regarding eating Maser Sheni and Karbonis, and says the word Sham as well by the Aroin, by the Holy Ark, Samta Sham is Aroin Eidus. And we learn Ma'aron Kal Yalfi that Maser Sheni is only active, you only eat Maser Sheni when we have the Aroin in place. Kivan Aroin Lehava, since there was no Aroin in place during Navi Kivan, as we learned yesterday, it was in Kiryasi Arim, it wasn't in a formal setting in a Mishkan. Kivan the Arim Lehavo, Maser Nami Lehavo. So likewise, you don't have Maser Sheni during that time, you don't need it. Maser Sheni, Nami Lehavo. If that's the case, that is dependent upon the Arim, Yachim, Pesach, Kachim, Nami. What about eating other Karbanis, Pesach and Kachim? The Sham, because it says the word Sham by Karbanis, Sham by the Aron, me Aron Yalfi, they should learn from the Aron. And likewise, the Kivan the Aron Lehava, since the Aron was not in its place, Inu Nami Lehava, don't need the other Karbanis either. The Mishnah says otherwise. Amarlis, he says, you know what? Actually, the Amarlach, Hamani Rab Shimini. He says, let me explain to you, give you a different answer to your question. Why was Maser Sheni not applicable? Not because of the Gzera Shava, because that's going to generate a whole confusion. Rather, it's based on the fact that the Mishnah here, who omitted Maser Sheni, is going like Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Hamani Rabbi Shimon, the Amor told us yesterday, even in a public bama, even the public will not bring karbanis that are obligatory, unless it's a Pesach, and other obligatory karbanis that are time related, right? But chayvos that are not time dependent, like Maser Behema, the tenth animal, which one designates as a carbon, which is a chayva, he must do it, but it's not time related. Aval chayvos she'ein kabul lehem zman, hacha v'chalei karb. You don't bring it in the general bama or the private bama. And what's an example of this type of carbon? Maser Behema, right? The tenth animal. Chayvos she'ein kabul lehem zman. It's one of those chayvos that are not time related and not applicable in a bama setting. And likewise, Maser Sheni from grain is connected, is interrelated with Maser Behema. It's from the same pasuk. When Maser Behema doesn't apply, likewise Maser Sheni does not apply either. Discussion: we connect Maser Dagon, the grain Maser, the Maser Behema, to the animal Maser. And since Maser Behema does not apply in a bama setting, likewise Maser Sheni. That answers your question: why we omit Maser Sheni? Ask the Gemara. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda's, Rabbi Shimon's opinion, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who told us yesterday, that you could even offer chayvos that are not time related, and therefore Maser Behema is applicable. So it was likewise Maser Sheni going to apply as well. Mechlal, according to this, let's infer the Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda Karev, you offer even Maser Behema. In, yep. All right on. The Amar of Adabara Masna, Maser Sheni, Maser Behema. Nechalan, Benoi, Vigivan, Ludi Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Maser Sheni is on, Maser Behema is on. Ask the Gemara. But how could you eat Maser Sheni? You bring it to Noiva Givine, really? But you need to have the fulfillment of the Pasuk. Pasuk by Maser Sheni says it has to be Lefnei Hashem, right? Vabai Biro, you need the Makam HaMishkan, the Miglish itself, right? How could you bring it to Noiva Givon, which wasn't really a formal Migdash? Answers the Gemara, it was another variation of the Migdash. It worked. But Laftani Rav Yosef, didn't Rav Yosef teach us? Sholosh Birois, there are three different types of Birois. Three different types of, Shechina structures. During different points in history, they had it set up differently. We have Shiloi, V'nai V'givoin, U'beis Elamim, and finally Beis Hamikdash. Who Tani Lo? So Rav Yosef, who presented this brisa regarding the three levels of Biro, V'omerlin explained it further, that the point of the brisa is to highlight L'achilas Maser Sheni Olib L'Rida, that you can eat the Maser Sheni even in Noi V'givoin, even though it wasn't really a formal setup, but it qualifies at Biro. It is a resting place for Shechina, and sort of is on the same level to a certain extent as Shiloh and Beis Hamikdash, which allows for eating Maser Sheni in its vicinity. Okay, so bottom line is, during Noi V'givoin's period, was Maser Sheni eaten? So according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, yes. By the Yerushalayim. Once they arrived at Yerushalayim, they built the Beis Hamikdash, the Bamis once again, us. Tanur Rabbanon, Kili Basim Adata, Alam Nuchal Anachla. As we explained, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, look, right now you're free to be makar karbanis anywhere because you haven't yet arrived at Menucha or Nachla. Menucha is Zushiloi, at which point the Ibamis became Asr. And then afterwards, Bamis became Mutar until they arrived at Yerushalayim, where once again Bamis became Asr. Nachla is Yerushalayim, but Omer, as we find the Psukim, that in fact, Nachla is synonymous with Yerushalayim. That's the final permanent resting place for the Shechinah. V'aymer ha'isali nachlasi. Ka'ari yibayar v'aymer ha'ait sovo nachlasi li ha'ait savvala. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Menucha is Shiloim, and Nachla is Yerushalayim. Rabbi Shimon, Omer, actually, it's the other way around, just the opposite. Menucha to Yerushalayim, Nachlas Ushilo. Ba'emer, as we find in the Pasuk, Zois Menuchasi Adi Ad, Poyeshev Kivisiyah, that's referring to Yerushalayim. Ba'emer, Kivoch Hashem Tzion Yivel Meshav Lois, that's clearly Yerushalayim Tzion. Whereas Nachla, that's Shiloh. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Elam Adam Menucha Zu Shiloh. So certainly if Menucha is Shiloh and only Nachla is Yerushalayim, that explains the sequence of the Pasuk. First Menucha is mentioned because that's the first phase. And then finally we have Nachla which is Yerushalayim, so the setup makes sense. Elam Adamar. But according to the other Shita, who says Menucha is Yerushalayim and Nachla is Yerushalayim, so the Pasuk should have switched around the sequence. Ela Nachla, first mention Nachla, which is Shiloh, and then Vela Menucha Mibalei. That's how it should have said. Tachika Amar. Moshe Rabbeinu meant to say like this. Look, you're still too early in the game. And therefore, you're free to makriv karbanos in your private bamos. Because Lo Mibalei, not only haven't you arrived at the final destination of Menucha the Matis, you haven't yet arrived at Yerushalayim, which is Menucha. You haven't even arrived at the first initial stage of you know of Mishkan, a formality, which is Shilei. Elafilu lanachla, even lanachla, which is Shilei. Nami lametus. You haven't yet arrived there, so therefore you're free to be makriv karbanos in your private home. Okay, so we have two shitas in terms of how to you know apply the terms in the pasuk. But in any case, according to both opinions, it was up down, meaning. During Gilgal, the Bamas were okay, Shiloh not, Nevi Gibbon yes, and Yerushalayim, Bamas are usher again. However, we have dissenting views. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, so the Mismedish of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned differently. Zuvazu Shiloh. Actually, both terms, Menucha and Nachla, refer to Shiloh. And what's the point of saying it this way? So the Mepharshim explain. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the Bamas were mutter during all times in history, even today. Provided there's no standing, existing, formal Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash. Only during the actual standing of Shiloh, or the actual existence of the Beis HaMikdash, are the Bamas Asr. But after their destruction, even nowadays, after we had a Beis HaMikdash, Bamas are Mutar again. So the Pasuk is saying, look, you haven't yet arrived at Shiloh. And the point is, the message is, when you have, while you have, an existing Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash, Bamas are Asr, but otherwise it's Mutar. Rabbi Shim ben Yechai Omer, no, Zuvzu Yerushalayim. Both terms, Menucha Nachla, refer to Yerushalayim only. And Rashi explains, according to this Shita, until Beis HaMikdash was built, Bamas are Mutar. So all throughout, Shiloh, etc., Bamas are Mutar. Says the Gemara, Bishleim, Elman Damar, Menucha Zu Shiloh. Benachla, Zu Yerushalayim, according to the first two opinions. It's either Menucha Shiloh, Nachla Yerushalayim, or the opposite, Inami Ifcha. That would explain the Pasuk. You haven't yet arrived at Menucha, nor at Nachla, because the point is to highlight that each one, whether it's during Shiloh, or during Yerushalayim, during Beis HaMikdash, Bamas are Asr. Elo l'manda amar zuvizu Shiloh, or zuvizu Yerushalayim, but according to the other two opinions, that they're both referring to the same phenomenon, both to Shiloh, or both to Yerushalayim, then why the repetition, Menucha, Nachla Mibayla, you should have just said, Elo Menucha Nachla, Ove Nachla, why split them with the word El, Elo Menucha, Ve Elo Nachla, which sounds like we're talking about two different things, Kashya Mibayla, that's how it should say, Kashya, we leave it as an unresolved question. According to the Shita that both are Shiloh, we understand why these terms are used to describe Shiloh. Menucha is because they finally rested from capturing, the Nocha Mikibush, and the word Nachla, the Palgu Asam Nachlus, because that's where they finished dividing the land. Tachsiv, as we have in the Pasuk, when Yeshua requested his portion, when Yeshua you know, finished dividing the land to the nation, Ve'yichalak lam Yeshua, Ve'yichalam Goyer, B'shiloh, Abiy Hashem, so you see that the Chalukah concluded in Shiloh. Okay, so it makes sense that Shiloh is referred to with Menuch or Nachl. Elal Madam, Zu V'zu Yishalayim, but according to the opinion, that both Menucha and Nachla is Yerushalayim. Why is that used to describe Yerushalayim? Bishlam, certainly the word Nachla, okay? Nachla Seilamim. It's an internal, eternal inheritance. Elo Menucha, my Menucha, what's the term Menucha? connect to Yerushalayim. Menuchas Aron, because that's where the Aron had its finally had its came to its destination, to its resting place. Now, Bishleim Elamanda Mazuv Yerushalayim. Now, certainly, if you say both at Yerushalayim, Avol Shiloi Havishare Bamos. So, according to this opinion, the Bamos were mutter all throughout until they got to Yerushalayim. And even during Mishkan Shilei, Bamos were mutter. That explains the story with Manoach, right? Shimshon's father, who was makriv karbanos on the boulder out there. Hanu l'chsev, that explains the pasuk. Veikach Manoach, right? He took the goat as the izim, as a mincha, ve'yalal tzor Hashem. He put it on the rock, and it was makriv Hashem, because Bamos were mutter, even though there was Mishkan Shilei. Elo madamar zuzu Shilei. But according to the other opinion, that once you get to Shilei, your aser ubamos hava asiran, my veikach Manoach. Why did he do the Yakrova outside? What justification did he have? It was during Shiloh's reign. The answer is, it was a one-off. It was by special instructions from the from the Malach. And it was an exceptional, you know, case. Okay, so we had Tanad Rabbi Shmuel, who said both are Shiloh, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who said both are Yerushalayim. And continues the Gemara, actually, Tanad Rabbi Shmuel, the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, switched ranks, they conceded, and they adopted the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. The Amar says, Zuvi Yerushalayim, both terms refer to Yerushalayim only. V'simanach, to remember what happened here, Mashchi Gavra, the single person of Shimon ben Yochai, convinced them, brought them over, the Gavra, to the many, he brought the many over to him, and convinced the opposing school of thought to adopt his position. That Menucha and Menachah both on Yerushalayim, and until Yerushalayim was established, the Beis Hamikdash was built, Bamos were mutter throughout. Okay, so we have several opinions in terms of when Bamos were mutter. And now Mishnah we learn, Bamos were only usher during Shiloh and during Beis Hamikdash and onward. But we have two more opinions. Some say that Bamos were mutter until Beis Hamikdash was built, and onward it's usher, whereas according to Bishmoel, only as Shiloh was standing and as Yerushalayim was standing, but after Churban Beis Hamikdash or Churban Shiloh, Bamos were mutter again. Kol HaKadosh. Okay, so in the Mishnah we learned that there are several levels of severity in terms of Shechting would be Makrivei Korban outside the Beis Hamikdash. So just in general terms, if you have a Korban that was set aside, that you were Magdish, when the Bamos were already Aser, and you makriv it outside during that same period, that's the most severe violation. There's an assay, positive commandment, leis assay, and even karas. But let's say he was magdish when the bamos were aser. By the time he got around to it, the bamos became mutter. So that's only a limited iser. It's only a missus assay. Let's say the other way around. He was magdish when the bamos were mutter, okay, by the time he got around to it, the bamos became aser. Mishnah says, there's an asay and a lois asay without kares. So basically three levels, right? Magdish and makrib when things are aser, asay less asay and kares. Magdish when things are mutter, and makrib when it was aser, asay less asay without kares. Magdish when things are aser, and makrib when things are mutter, it's only an asay. So in the middle case where he used magdish it, when the bamos were mutter, and he was makrivit. When the bamos were aser, Mishnah says only asay and leis asay without kares. Says the Gemara, one sec, kol hakadosh mechulo amar kahana lo yishom. That's only true of the b'shchita if he shechts it outside. Then there's only asay leis asay without kares. Aval ba'alo. But if in this case he's also makrivit, okay, so not shchita, but he does ha'alo, kares nami mechayv, he gets kares as well. My time, why? Don't I krov aliyem toimer alasmuchan toimer? Because the pasuk previously discussed this very case, where the Hegdish occurred when the Bamos were mutter, and the Akrova occurred when the processing occurred once the Bamos became Asr. And the pasuk there speaks about Hakrova, Valeim Toimar, and it goes on to speak about being Makriv, and there's Kares. Allah Smuchan Toimar, it's referring even to those previously mentioned, the one right nearby, this middle case. Even in this case, true, Shechita outside there's no Kares, but Ha'aloh there is. Mask the Rabba. Let's take a look at the spelling of the word. Mixe Valeim Toimer? Does it then say Valeim with an I, which indicates that it's going back on that case? Aleim ksiv. Aleim means to them, to the people. It's just referring to the people. Who said it's going on the other case? Void, furthermore, Tani, we have a brisa, which clearly tells us there's no karis. Even when he's mala, a karbon. Outside when the hegdash took place, when the bamas were humutar. Arba klolis. In fact, he sets down four rules, four levels of violation. Hayar b'shimon ayim b'kachim regarding kachim b'chutz. The highest level is, the most severe is, yekdisha b'shashis rabamis, v'shachat v'hela b'shashis rabamis. The hegdash and the shechita and the Allah took place when things were aser, b'shashis rabamis, b'chutz. So this is the most severe, harim v'asei, v'loisasei, v'yishman karis. There's an asei, loisasei, and karis. One notch down is, yekdisha b'shashis rabamis, which is the case that we're talking about now. The hegdash took place when things were mutter. Shasat Rabbamis. By the time he got around to it, the Rabbamis became Asur. Shili was built, right? Veshachat Vihela. Let's pay attention to the word. Vihela. He did both. Shkita and Allah. Once the Rabbamis became Asur, Bishas Isra Rabbamis, what does the Brisa say? Is there Karis? No. Harahim Ba'asay. Valaysa say. You're limited to an Asay and Asay without Karis. Vehimbaran Karis. This is a direct contradiction to Rav Kahan, who says this Karis for Malabachus in this case. Okay, let's just continue the Brisa. A notch lower than that is Hikdisham Shasisra Bomis. He was Magdashit when the Bomis were Asr, but by the time he got around to it, Bomis became Mutter again. Vishachat Vihela Bachutz. He did it outside. Vishasatra Bomis. In this case, it's the lightest transgression. Arayin Ba'asei. There's merely an Asei. Vein Ben. Please, there's no Asei. And finally, the fourth case is where it's totally Mutter. Hikdisham Shasisra Bomis. Vishachat Vihela Vishasatra Bomis. Everything from beginning to end took place when the Bomis were Mutter. Then the light's green. Perfectly fine. B'shachat v'ela b'shachat rabamis patim miklum. Interestingly, he calls it patim miklum. It sounds like it's just exempt. It's just an expression in contrast to the liabilities in the previous cases. So. But really, it's mutter, of course. In any case, this brisa clearly contradicts Rav Kahana to Yufta, Rav Kahana to Yufta. In fact, it's a refutation. Be'elukach. And the Mishnah goes on to list items which set apart the bama gdoila from the bama ktana. For instance, during Gilgal, at a bama gdoila, central bama, versus the private bamas in, you know, people's backyards. So both are functioning entities, but there are many differences. Some practices only apply in the bama gdoila, not in the bama ktana. For instance, smicha, leaning on the animal before the akrov, that only applies in bama gdoila, not in the ktana. Tachsev why? Tachsev lefnei Hashem v'samach. Smicha takes place only lefnei Hashem, in the presence of the central shechina area, which is in the bama gdoila. Likewise, shechita tzafin, the requirement to shech the kachi kachim and the tzafin, again, that only applies in the bama gdoila, not in the bama ktana. Tchsiv tzafin, that's only lifnei Hashem, it's in front of Hashem, not in the privacy of your home. Matanu saviv, the requirement to apply multiple blood applications to the sides of the mizbeach, again, tchsiv v'zarech al mizbeach saviv. And again, the pasuk there speaks about asher pesach ha'el moed, it has to be the central place. Tznufa, waving of the parts of the carbon. Again, that only applies in the central area of the chsiv. Veinim ha-koyin, only lefnei Hashem. And hagasha, making contact to the mizbeach with the kli of the mincha, the chsiv yigisha al-mizbeach. Ha-mizbeach, the central mizbeach, as opposed to a private mizbeach. Rabbi Doime Emnich Obama, he says that a mincha never can be processed in any bama. Rav Sheshes, actually, birds also not, because they're tied together. According to the opinion that you could bring a mincha in a bama, likewise, you could bring animal, bird carbonus in a bama as well. But otherwise, both not. According to the opinion that you can't bring a mincha in a bama, likewise, ain't oifis b'mama. Why? Because they're both excluded from the same pasuk. Pasuk speaks about bringing zvachim to a bama. Zvachim tells us v'lei menachos, as opposed to menachos, and likewise, zvachim tells us v'lei oifes, not birds. What other elements are only present in a general bama, not a private bama? A kohen, the requirement of a kohen to do the avodah. T'chsiv v'zarek ha-kohen. It says a mizbech Hashem, only the kohen. Only a mizbech Hashem requires a kohen, not a private mizbech. Likewise, the special garments of a kohen, b'gdei sharis, because it says the sharis v'akodesh. It's only meant for the mishkan. It's only meant for a central offering place, not a private bama. And likewise, uklei sharis, because that's again exclusive to the public arena. Ashir shasam b'makadosh, rech nechayach, tachziv l'rech nechayach l'Hashem. It's only in front of Hashem. Do we need Reich Nechayach as opposed to a private Vama? You can actually roast the parts of the animal first before you put them on the Mizbech, even though they don't no longer generate and exude a proper Reich. Mechitza B'damim, the requirement to place blood sometimes on the upper part of the Mizbech, sometimes on the lower part. Mechitza means a dividing line running along the halfway mark of the wall of the Mizbech, requiring some carbonus to be on top, some on bottom. Again, that only applies in the central arena. Only the known central Mizbeach has that. Rinsing of hands and feet in preparation of the Avodah. Again, that's only by the Mishkan, by the Bama Gdoila, the Chsiv, Karbasa, El HaMizbeach. That's the known central Mizbeach. Chatzu they rinse. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rami Bar Chama. Okay, so after this whole long list of distinctions, of differences between a Bama Gdoila and Bama Gtana, says Rami Bar Chama like this. You should know. Lo Yishano. Now we'll go with the Lashon Rashi. Rashi switches the some of the words in the Gemara. And it reads like this. Lo Yishano. When do we say that all these elements do apply in a Bama Gdoila? Ela b'kodshi bama gdoila. That's only when the carbon was meant for that bama. It was designated for purpose of bringing it to a bama gdoila. V'krivu b'ma gdoila. Actually, the akrova took place in a bama gdoila as well. So all these halachas are applied. Havo b'kodshi bama katana. But if you have a carbon which was meant for your backyard, that's what you had in mind when you were magdash it. The karvinu b'ma gdoila. Although you took it, you happen to take it to the central bama. Ein mechitza. There's no mechitza for the dam. We're not particular about where they apply the dam, on the top of the Mizbeach, on the bottom. And like all the other halachas that typically apply in a Bama Gdola do not apply in this case, because this carbon per se was meant for a Bama Ktana. It was meant for a sort of a lower level hakrava, and although it was taken to the Bama Gdola, it doesn't adopt all the, you know, the elements of the Bama Gdola. Moisev Rabba has a kasha on this. We have a braisa, which once again highlights some differences between a bama gdoila and a bama ktana. Chazav ha-shoik, for instance, the parts of the shlamim that are given to a kohen, which ramas lach mitoida, the breads of the toida given to the kohen, lihagen. So all the halachas regarding doing tnufa and giving it to the kohen only apply by bama gdoila in the central bama, but not veini hagen, do not apply by bama ktana, private bama. So now it sounds like if you're in a bama gdoila, all these things are activated. Even if this particular carbon was really labeled, was meant, was intended for Bama Ktana, so apparently that's not what really determines. It's where it's being taken, which determines its status, where it's processed. Unlike Rami Bar Chama, who says, no, it's about the labeling on the carbon, not the actual destination. Says the Gemara, let's revise the Braisa accordingly. Emol will modify the Braisa to read, Nehagen Be'kotchi Bama Ktana, all these apply to a carbon which was labeled, which was meant, which was intended for a bama gdoila, and actually processed there, but do not apply because of bama ktana and a carbon which was meant initially for bama ktana, irrespective of where it was actually brought, which is exactly like Rami Bar Chama. Now, actually, there's a different gersa. Rami Bar Chama, there's a different version of his statement as follows. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Lo Yishano, when do we say that a baba sibor in a public bama, we have all these extra elements, Ella bizman bama gdoila, v'kriven bama gdoila. That's when it's a zman of bama gdoila, which means to say, you can't do a private bama at that time. And this is actually a karm which was processed in the bama gdoila. Fine. So it has all these added enhanced elements of a krav. Aval bizman bama ktana. But when bamas are okay, are permissible. Afagav de karvinu bama gdoila. Even if he takes a karbon and brings it to the Bama Gdoila. It was meant for the Bama Gdoila. It takes the Echitze. We do not apply all these enhancements. Interesting point. So when the Bamas were allowed, even a central Bama is downgraded and doesn't have these added elements. Masav Rabba, Rabba has a kasha from that Braisa. Chazav Eshoik, right? Shemus Lach Meitoida. Mehagin Bama Gdoila. They apply in a central Bama. Vein Mehagin Bama Gdoila. As opposed to Bama Gdoila. Which sounds like, well, in a Bama Gdoila, they all apply, even though Bama Ktanas are mutter. But in a Bama Gdoila, you have the added elements. Amen. Well, says the Gemara, we can modify the Braisa as follows. All these added elements apply Bizman Bama Gdoila, when the Bama Gdoila is the only thing in existence, the only active Bama, as opposed to Bizman Bama Ktana, when the private Bamas were online, then Nobames have these enhanced features. Okay, so bottom line is, according to Rambam Chama, in the first Lasha, if the animal was hukdash for the sake of a Bamas Yachid, right, even if it was taken to Bamas Tzibur, it will have a limited type of akrava. Going to the second lashon, takes it even further. Even in a bamas tzibur, even if it was meant for the bamas tzibur, but if it's a time in history when the bamas out there are mutter, even the bamas tzibur doesn't have the added elements. Says the Gemara, both these versions of Rambam Chama will be in disagreement of Rabbi Eliezer. Ufik the Rabbi, he takes on a different view. Don Rabbi Eliezer, oilas bamas yachid, an oil which was set aside for a private bama. Right? And he shechted it outside. Sheikh Nisa b'fnim, he takes it inside. Let's see, he took it inside. The animal was taken inside after shechita into the place of the Bamas Tzibur, into the, you know, mechitzes. Called Tua Mechitz L'Chodover, the mechitzes now have sanctified, have sort of absorbed this material, and now it gets upgraded. And all the added elements of a Bamas Tzibur will apply to this carbon as well, and this is in total disagreement to Rambam Chama, who says that, first of all, in the first Lashon, if it was meant for Rabbah Masyachet, it doesn't have the enhancements. And certainly according to the second Lashon, that when there were Rabbah Masyachet in existence, there are no enhanced Hakrav at all in Rabbah Masyachet. And Releza takes it a step further, he says, no, even if it was already meant for Rabbah Masyachet, and started it out there, Shchit out there, but he brought it in here, now it gets upgraded, and all the enhancements apply as well. Okay, so let's just stop right here, I'll pick it up tomorrow. Let's do a quick recap of today's daf. We discussed when bamas were mutter, when bamas were aser, we discuss the added elements that we find in the bamas tzibur, and when exactly they apply. All the best to you and atzlacha rabbah.